Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. I am Jason Powell, and coming up after this break for non-members, my full review of the Ring of Honor television show. The Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor show takes place on Friday night. You can join me for live coverage at ProWrestling.net. Of course, No Mercy from WWE is Sunday. We will also have live coverage of that show. .net members are going to hear exclusive audio reviews of both nights. I will have the audio review of the Friday night show, the Ring of Honor event. And then Sunday night, I will get together with Jake Barnett for our audio review of the WWE No Mercy show. If you're interested in membership to the ad-free version of our website and mobile site, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net, click into the sign-up area, and find our three different pricing options that are available. As far as this Ring of Honor television show, it was taped on August 26th in Atlanta, Georgia at Center Stage, and it aired in syndication over the weekend. It also airs Mondays on the Fight TV app, and I thought this was a good, solid show when it comes to promoting the pay-per-view. Ring of Honor doesn't always do a great, effective job of building to their pay-per-view events, but this one has been an exception. There was one week where it kind of seemed like they put that on the back burner for whatever reason, but I think otherwise, I would say what, 3 out of the last 4 weeks, I believe, have been effective when it comes to pushing the Death Before Dishonor show, the individual matchups, focusing on even without having access to Minoru Suzuki, who is challenging Cody for the ROH Championship on Friday, they've done a nice job of including him in video packages. So I have been encouraged by that. As far as the entertainment value of this show, not bad. Nothing spectacular, nothing to write home about. There were moments, but the main event of the show kind of set up one of the six-man tag matches they're having on the show, but it really didn't leave me anxious to see that or the pay-per-view itself. But there were, again, moments throughout the show where they were very effective in pushing this Death Before Dishonor show. I keep wanting to say Final Battle, but the year is flying by, but we're not there quite yet. They opened up with the opening montage, and then Ian Riccaboni and BJ Whitmer checked in on commentary. And they right off the bat, Riccaboni acknowledged that Death Before Dishonor was coming up on Friday. And then in the opening match, it was Kenny King defeating Adam Page. This was solid. They had Caprice Coleman sit in on commentary, and he hyped that he's going to have the Briscoe brothers on his Coleman's Pulpit talk show next week. I do like the idea of this talk show. I wish they would do it in front of the live crowd, but as I've said, you know, if the idea is that, well, we want to have some things that don't take place in front of the live crowd to avoid spoilers, okay, I get it. But we'll see how it goes. It's still, I think there's only technically been, two episodes? One episode? So it's still too early to really assess this, but I think Coleman has the gift of gab, and he's going to be good at this. But the match, no surprise that King went over. He's challenging for the ROH TV title. He'll be facing Kushida on Friday night. That match, I mean, they had a little bit of a build. Basically, they had a match that was interrupted. I believe it was Bullet Club. And then the two of them ended up teaming, Kenny King and Kushida, at one point. And so there really isn't, it's just, I don't know, there's something missing with Kenny King. Part of it, I think, is that it feels a little too much too soon with King being in the ROH TV title picture when he's just been spinning his wheels and bad factions for so long. I'm happy to see him get pushed. I do wonder if part of the reason they're rushing into this is because he's a Vegas guy. That's his, I believe, I don't know if it's his birth town or what, but I know he lives in Vegas, and so I don't know if they feel like there's some appeal with the locals in terms of having him challenge for the TV championship. But again, no surprise that he went over. Solid match. I continue to enjoy the work of Adam Page. They'll mention Hangman, I think, once in a while, but he's back to being Adam Page. I wonder if it's just because Adam Cole is gone. Second match on this show was Marty Scurll defeating Rocky Romero. Romero's a guy who's just, and when it comes to Ring of Honor, they've never really defined who he is, what his tag teams are about. I spent the entire time he was with Beretta wondering if we were supposed to cheer them or boo them. What did ROH want from the fans? They just kind of throw them out there against different teams when they had access to them. But there really wasn't any direction there. And that's where Romero was still at as a singles wrestler. Scurll, on the other hand, it just feels like he is very hot, but cooling off a bit because Ring of Honor doesn't have him in anything all that meaningful. They brought him in, made him the ROH TV champion, then they shifted it to Kushida, and he's out of that title picture. He's still in Bullet Club. That, he's certainly a hot property. But as far as like ROH storylines are concerned, they just kind of threw him in a match with Chuck Taylor on the pay-per-view. And it's a match I'm looking forward to, but I hope they'll do something with him, with Skrull. And Skrull ended up going over here. Romero, I don't even think, is on the pay-per-view. Certainly not advertised. He could end up appearing. So another one where it's like, no surprise that he went over. This was not the chicken wing that Skrull usually uses. It was, he set him up, the broadcast team. I think they thought he was going to go for a pile driver, so he was kind of in a different position, but he ended up just kind of slamming Romero down, and they didn't say the name of it or anything, but he ended up winning that way rather than by submission. Then we had a Death Before Dishonor video package that focused on Minoru Suzuki and him challenging Cody for the ROH Championship coming up on Friday night, a match I'm looking forward to. And keep in mind that it was, I believe the original plan was for it to be Dalton Castle challenging Cody, and that's why they kind of started that program on that UK pay-per-view event. They did the online pay-per-view, but then Castle, I believe it's a back injury that's keeping him sidelined. So they called an audible. They went with Minoru Suzuki, and I think, again, even though they haven't had access to him, it was he wasn't on any of the at any of the TV tapings or anything. They've been good about showing video packages and really having people, the broadcast team just praise him and rave about him. And they continue to do a good job of working Cody into the shows. Even if he isn't wrestling on the show, you usually hear from the ROH champion. We at least get a brief promo, if nothing else. And this was no exception. He made his entrance in this case. It wasn't just something they did backstage. He headed to the ring, and he held up the ROH title and said that as he asked the crowd, "What happens when the undesirable becomes the undeniable?" And that's when he held up the title and he said, "This happens." But he said, "It's time for a change." And he dropped the title belt. And he motioned for someone to come out. Ring announcer Nick Lendl came out. I didn't know Nick Lendl, but the broadcast team was nice enough to fill us in on who he was. And he brought out like a small ring box. And sure enough, it contained, well, a ring. And Cody labeled it the official Ring of Honor. And Rick Abani was acting all offended at this point. And I'm like, okay, I don't get, I really like Ian Riccaboni, but there's moments where it's like he gets all worked up, like, why is he pissed off about this? Cody ended up putting the ring on his finger, on the right ring finger, and then showed it off for the crowd, and the crowd was supportive of Cody. He's a Georgia native, and so he really wasn't trying to turn the crowd against him as we've seen him do in other places. I think just kind of realizing lost cause, they're going to continue to cheer him, and so he was kind of playing into it a little bit. And Whitmer said he liked the ring. It reminded him of a Super Bowl ring and called it pretty sweet. And actually, and then we had Cody bring up the Code of Honor. Said it's time to that he said it's changed in that now people, instead of shaking hands, will be kissing the ring. And he told Lendl to show them. Lendl acted kind of surprised by this, and the fans were chanting "Kiss the Ring," and Lendl gave it a quick peck. And then Cody handed Lendl some cash for apparently doing this, and Lendl left the ring. And then Cody asked the crowd who wanted to be the first to kiss the ring. Like, well, Lendl just did, and actually we saw someone the week before do it. But anyway, Cody went to ringside, pointed to a female fan, and she kissed the ring, and the crowd cheered that, and that was kind of the end of this segment. Did they show us the ring out of sequence? Unintentionally, I'm not sure. I mean, we certainly saw there was someone that kissed the ring. I think it was Matt Sells. This was something that was not done in front of the live crowd. So I don't know if it's something Cody sent in or if they did it at one of the tapings, but it was a location that I just didn't recognize. And Cody had this guy kiss the ring, and it aired on last week's show. So it seems a little odd that, they introduced the ring on this show, yet we actually saw it last week, but no big, no major harm done or anything like that. I just kind of caught that and was wondering if there was a continuity issue, but no big deal either way. Then we had the Death Before Dishonor preview. Just really, this was the broadcast team, or I guess Riccaboni himself kind of running through some of the matches, and they would pause briefly for some brief promos from, in this case, the Motor City Machine Guns, talking about fulfilling their destiny by becoming ROH champions when they faced the Young Bucks. And then Marty Scurll spoke briefly about facing Chuck Taylor, and he noted that it's Chuck E. T.'s first singles match in Ring of Honor, and he said T. wouldn't have his best friends to babysit him. That's one where you kind of have to like both guys to, be excited about this match. And I do. I just, from a storyline standpoint, there's really nothing there. And I do hope they will find a way to get Marty Scurll more involved soon. And for that matter, Can we get a promo from Chuck Taylor? This guy has the gift of gab, and I know they like to act in Ring of Honor like their audience knows everyone from the independent scene in Japan, but it would be nice to hear from Chuck Taylor still. Bully Ray sat in on commentary with Ian Riccaboni and BJ Whitmer. He was a nice guy mode. He talked about how this was the first time he's done commentary in Ring of Honor, and told the broadcast team they do a pretty good job. Then ring entrances for the main event took place. They went to a commercial. When they came back, we got the, well, there was one commercial break during the match. The match itself was Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe defeating the team of Benny Marsaglia, or Marsaglia, Marsaglia. I can never quite say. I'm not quite sure what the pronunciation is. I want to say Marsaglia, but I know that's not it. But it was Vinny Marsaglia. I'm almost sure that's how Riccaboni says it. I had Ian on the All Access Daily podcast, and I quizzed him on the pronunciations of some of the Japanese wrestler names, and he was a great sport, and I learned just from listening to him, but I should have run Vinny Marsaglia by him. But at any rate, Vinny teamed with TK O'Ryan. They did note before the commercial break that happened early in the match that Matt Taven was conspicuous by his absence. They said he'd actually been tearing it up in Mexico for CMLL. So that I was wondering if he was going to come out and interfere in this, and we get the big brawl between Bully Ray and the Briscoes with the Kingdom. Didn't play out that way. It was pretty straightforward. Back-and-forth match. The crowd really into the Briscoes. Sadly, not so much the Kingdom. I mean, it's they've been around for a while now, but keep in mind that O'Ryan had been sidelined with that he broke his leg, and I think the last time they were in Las Vegas, for that matter, when he did some sort of a flip moonsault, and his leg, you know, off the apron, and his leg crashed onto the barrier, or was off the ropes. At any rate, you know, he was trying to hit it at ringside, and ended up hitting the barrier. It was ugly. He missed a lot of time. Good to see him back. And the reason I bring that up is that, you know, I am trying to give them an out here, in that they, yeah, the Kingdom's been established now as far as who's in the group for a while, but Orion's been sidelined, and so they really haven't been able to do much. This is this was his first taping back wrestling, I believe. I don't think he wrestled at the last one. I know he kind of made it clear that he was back. He dropped the crutches and helped attack the Briscoes, I believe it was, at the previous taping. So they're just kind of getting into the swing of things. I'm still, you know, I do like what Vinny is doing. He is different. I mean, O'Ryan and Taven, very similar, both in looks and also in what they're going for, as far as just kind of being your traditional heel types, where Vinny almost, he brings like a Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer, Crazy Eric Young. You know, there's just, he's kind of going, playing it up that way, where he's kind of the loose cannon of the group, and certainly, you know, not going for the pretty boy look or anything like that. And so I like that he brings a little something different to the Kingdom, but the Kingdom is still very much a work in progress, and you know, just I keep waiting for them to do something that really clicks. There's talent there, but I just haven't really seen anything that makes me feel like, ooh, they took a step forward here, and the crowd is going to start to really react to them. Hopefully that's coming. But the match itself, like I say, back and forth, crowd into the Briscoes. It was fine. The finish, you ended up with Jay performing a Jay Driller on Orion, and Mark ended up taking the pin for his team. No drama or anything. It just was, he was the legal man. And so the Briscoes go over, and then afterward, I'm expecting like, okay, now we're going to get some setup for the pay-per-view. It was just Bully Ray joining the Briscoes in the ring and raising their arms, and you had Riccaboni delivering a final pitch for the pay-per-view and hyped the Honor Rumble for next week's television show. Bonus points for that. I always approve when they announce something for the next week of television. They're not always good at that. And I wasn't sure what it was going to be, just because it's one of those weeks where the show is airing at the same time. You know, in some markets, probably the, well, I guess the pay-per-view airs on Friday. Obviously, there's not going to be new TV ready for Saturday. And in fact, I don't think there's going to be new TV ready for the week after either. So I was wondering what it was going to be. They just had a Women of Honor special. Wouldn't mind seeing another, but they didn't, you know, that wasn't in the cards. They ended up going Honor Rumble, which is fun. I think they could have spent a little more time explaining it, but so be it. I think most Ring of Honor fans watching are going to have a, you know, you hear Rumble and you have a pretty good idea, even if you're not a Ring of Honor fan, what it is. And so, you know, that's something to look forward to. And then as far as the pay-per-view is concerned, you know, that I guess the final match didn't really do anything to drive me toward it. What they're doing is having the Briscoes and Bully face the Kingdom. The winning team will then face the Hung Bucks of the Young Bucks and Paige on the same night for the ROH six-man tag titles. And so you kind of just showed me that, well, the Briscoes can beat these two. There really wasn't. I thought they'd use this to put some heat on the heels going in. They didn't. And so it really just didn't leave me anxious to see this. There's really, I mean, the Briscoes and Bully have some, some heat with, Bullet Club in the storylines, but it hasn't been a major focal point. So it's just kind of a strange match to close with in terms of driving people toward the show. But I do understand when you also look at it and your main event is Cody and Minoru Suzuki, and obviously they didn't have access to Suzuki. And your TV title match is Kenny King against Kushida, and I don't think Kushida was at these TV tapings either. I could be mistaken, but either way, that's just kind of a friendly rivalry more than it is anything else. And so I don't know if you're going to use your final segment to really push that. So they were in kind of a tough spot. I just wish they would have done a little something at the end of the show to really kind of send you off the air going, man, I got to see this. That said, it looks like a good lineup, and I am looking forward to covering the show on Friday. So again, please join me at ProWrestling.net. I believe it's an 8 Central, 9 Eastern start time is typically when Ring of Honor starts their pay-per-views. I don't have the information in front of me, but that's usually what it is, so we'll go with that. You can check the website. I'm sure we'll have more details on that, especially if I'm mistaken on that. I've got to look that up. That'll be Friday night live coverage of the ROH pay-per-view. So if you're watching, watch along with me. I'll have live commentary. And if you're not watching, hey, watch along with me if you choose to, and I will have the live commentary and, of course, results of the show, a rundown of things, and then the members will hear my exclusive audio review afterward. Same goes for Sunday night with No Mercy. Everyone can follow along with the live coverage, but afterward, the members are going to hear that audio review that I mentioned that Jake Barnett and I get together and do after all the WWE pay-per-view events. Well, that is going to do it for today, everybody. Hey, take a moment, subscribe to this podcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes, anywhere else that allows reviews. Let us know what you think of it. You can always email me at dotnetjason@gmail.com. That's .netjason@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. If you enjoy the show, you'd like to see some changes, whatever the case may be, we would love your feedback regarding the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast. Until next time, everybody, take care.